Okay, we're back with a genuine city grandee.
Ooh.
David Buick, are there a lot of them around?
No, there's loads of them around, but you know, it's nice being called that, better than veteran.
Oh yes, veteran's terrible. I mean, even I'm almost a veteran now. But David Buick, senior market commentator of Pamela Gordon, thank you very much for coming in today.
Good morning to you, kind sir.
Right, overnight, China shocker.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a shock it really is. I suppose when you see it in bold print, you go, wow. But, you know, when you hear the kind of comments that we've heard in the course of the last fortnight and seen on television with great rows of steel unwanted, and then, I think, was it last week, they were saying 8 million people may lose their jobs within the stolen coal and steel community, then you can't be surprised when you hear the kind of rhetoric that we got this morning, you know, of exports down 25.4%. when 14% was expected, and imports down 13.9% when 10% was expected. I mean, that is a wow. And what we're getting from that is two things, I think. I don't know whether you agree. I was surprised how salutary and chilled out Asian markets were with that news. I mean, they were off, but not dramatically. But I think what we need to understand from now here on in for the next 2 years, any kind of growth comes domestically. You can forget the big export business and the big, you know, two-way trade. It's just not going to take place. And with that has to come every stimulus package that you can imagine, excluding anything that Draghi may have said in terms of his context. We will do all that it takes. China's going to have to do a lot more as well.
Yeah, but aren't they going to be throwing good money after bad? They're all reserves, it's in the bin, $100 billion a month. You know, I mean, it's just going to, they're going to run out of money. Even they are going to run out of money trying to save this situation. I mean, isn't there another strategy they could use?
Not one that would be acceptable to them. When you've given people, even though it's been a communist state since, you know, way before my time, whatever it is, since the turn of the century, and you've given them a taste of some capitalist comforts, and all of a sudden you've got millions of people coming out of university who are desperate to learn, desperate to have a job, desperate to have good money, desperate to buy some kind of luxury goods of some sort, whether it's a mobile, a phone, or a television, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden you find, right, there's another 8 million on the street, and we've got 8 million people coming out of university, and they're not getting much of a look at a job. They don't want a repetition of Tiananmen Square again. And I think that rings very heavily. Therefore, I hear you about the reserves. You're absolutely right. I can actually see them borrowing money now and issuing debt around the world, which people will have to
copy the failed, you know, our failed model the last 7 years.
I mean, completely agree.
I mean, you would wish that on your worst enemy.
No, I agree with you. But that, I can't see any other way around it, because you're not. It's not like you're looking to manipulate an economy like, say, the UK's of 60 million. And I get so cross when people start giving me Norway and Switzerland in the same breath as the UK. I mean, how can you do that? Norway's got 4 million people, Switzerland 11 million people. And they start saying, well, you know, it works for Norway and Switzerland, so why should it be any different for the UK? I'll tell you why. They're Mickey Mouse countries, even though Norway has loads of oil.
Cuckoo clock countries.
Correct.
So, well, okay, I forgot what I was going to say now.
So
China, work in progress at the very, very least.
Well, yes, but I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen. I don't know. Should talk about Carney, Mark Carney.
I was going to get onto it. Is he going to be grilled? Is he actually going to be sweating there?
No.
The Treasury Committee.
I spoke to Simon French this morning, rather naively, and I said to him, you know, I'm quite surprised that the Bank of England, Mark Carney, have let it be known that loads more liquidity will be provided by the Bank of England as we head up towards the European referendum. And I'm going, that's almost like throwing flame fuel on the fire, looking for problems and issues and things like that. And he very rightly sat me down and said, no, you must not see it like that, because he said, whether it's Andrew Tyree with his sarcastic approach to life, or the mad John Mann, who I think is absolutely terrific, and I think he does a wonderful job, but he's very irascible, is going to ask Carney, what's your stance on the situation? Now, you and I know, well, we don't know, but we assume that every central bank that is getting needled by the Fed, needled by the ECB, needled by the Bank of Japan, you must stay in. It's pretty likely that if the bank was allowed to say what it wanted to say, that it would stay in. But it is not the job of the central bank, which is an arm of the Treasury, to have a view on this matter. I mean, we've been down this road with Mark Beaulieu at the City.
Well, obviously it has a view. The view is the government view, which is to stay.
beg your pardon? Certainly not. The civil service is supposed to be absolutely neutral in these things and have no view, or they can advise what they think should happen, and they're clearly doing so, saying, because we've seen foreign exchange rates go like that for the last few weeks, and we'd like to see them go like that for the next few weeks as we head into it, we suggest that the banks have a lot more access to a lot more liquidity. But to actually say, you know, it's really time that the UK stopped this messing around and signed up to remain in the European Union. I would be mortified if that would happen. And I'll tell you what, we'll have lunch on it. I bet you he doesn't say that either.
Sorry, he doesn't say that they're going...
He will just say, I've allowed for all eventualities. If there is a problem, if there is an issue, we're here to support the strength of the, you know, of the financial system. And if there is no problem, then we've had this facility there and we'll all go back to work.
Yeah, but the other point, there's two points. The first point is the bank's supposed to have everything themselves. The individual banks have to have enough liquidity.
Correct.
And money put aside for any eventuality. It shouldn't be the Bank of England that has to be there.
You are one of the brightest people I've met, and yet you're suffering from amnesia from 2008.
Well, the system's already supposed to be in place.
I know. But no, you are right, Zach. But what I'm trying to say is that the only way that the Bank of England can put its oar in or stick its oar in is to say, we have covered every single eventuality. I mean, he's talking now. He may say something completely different, but I very much doubt it.
Well, no, but I very much doubt that if there was, by some quirk of statistics and fate, there was a Brexit on the 23rd or 24th of June, there would be no money. There would be no money in the world which wouldn't prevent a complete catastrophe.
I couldn't possibly disagree with you more. I think you and all your in brigade are looking for trouble that clearly is not definitely there. We may have a little bit of uncertainty going forward, but where's your pioneering spirit? Where's your bulldog approach to life? Why do you want to remain within a...
I don't know. I want to get out.
Oh, you do?
I'm running.
I thought I was going to have
two things. I want to get out.
I thought I was going to have a fight with a mate.
I want to get out. And two, whatever the government wants, I want to do the opposite. If they wanted to stay in, if they wanted to get out, I want to stay in. So I'm out for two reasons, not just one.
No, okay. Well, I'm out purely for trade reasons. The immigration situation is not an issue I even want to go close to. Why? I think it's a global issue. Don't think it's got anything to do with the UK particularly or specifically. Obviously it's something to do with Europe, but it's not an issue, this business of Brexit, for me. The issue is pure trade, ability, opportunity, no more, no less.
David Buick, senior market commentator for Panmure Gordon. What a great note to finish on.
Joy to the world. Lovely speaking to you.
Thank you.